Hi, it's Pete Norstead here, and welcome to another Trade on Sports and Focused on Football Betting podcast. As usual, I'm joined by Jimmy Kempton. How are you doing, Jimmy?
Excellent, thank you, Peter. Well, by my record last week, where I feel my season has been a bit like Sheffield United, a very rare highlights and a lot of lowlights.
Yeah, last week was not good. I mean, I went for five selections, one out of five, you're sort of going with the value, but you probably add more on what? How do you see it?
Well, 2 weeks ago, I took Man City, a really, really obviously strong team, for 3 points, giving up quite a large handicap start away to Forest. Cashed for us very nicely. Last week, I took underdogs, put some faith in some poorer teams or the poorer team in the matchup, and they horrifically underperformed, Peter. And, you know, I only had 1 point on each of the four selections. But I've had a really torrid season in the Premier League, Pete. It's been crazy. And I think we have to appreciate it. It's changed quite a lot in terms of how games are looked at and viewed and priced. I mean, I'm just going down the lines this week, Pete. The lowest goal line is 2.75.
Yes, that's mental, isn't it?
And when we started this, if there was a goal line of 2.75, it would be the anomaly.
Yes, yes.
And
yes.
Now it's an anomaly if there isn't a goal line of 3 or more. It's ever evolving, and I think it's something that we'll need to look at over the summer months in terms of how we approach games, how we price them, and in some ways, how much faith we can place in our old data points, really.
The only thing I would say about that, though, is that in days gone by, we'd be all on the unders, wouldn't we? Here and
yeah.
And this, just because a team, like I say, is receiving goals, doesn't mean to say that they won't cover the handicap either. Because you can bet your life this week it will switch around.
You've got to be very.
I think this is why a lot of people do not bet at this time of year, do they?
Yeah, well, I mean, my subscribers for League Two will know that we had a bit of a dip at the back end of the season. Season long went very well, but in terms of the final few weeks of the season, it's been quite bad. And I did sort of forgo my general rule of not betting in the final 6 weeks of the season. And I'm a little bit regretting that, really, because we've had a couple of extra losers than we needed to, just because we're in so much good form through the core part of the season, which I call October to March. So it might just be a case, folks, of at times keeping your powder dry, as difficult as that might seem, or vastly reducing your stakes.
Right, so let's have a look at this week then. Two weeks to go, Peter. Yeah, we're starting to look at then big game this at lunchtime, Fulham against Manchester City. The line is +1.75. Recent head-to-heads, Man City have won all three. Indeed, they've won their last 15 against Fulham in all competitions. That's an incredible record, really. Anyway, Fulham, when they're at home to Manchester City, 1-0. When they're +1.75, 1-0 drawn, 1-0. Coming off a 0-0 draw away at Brentford. Manchester City, when they're -1.75, as you'd expect, good record. 1-8, drawn 2, lost none. 3 of the 8 were by 3 or more goals, coming off a 5-1 victory at home to Wolves. +1.75, 18 matches. And when you break it down, it works out at 9 points against 7 points. My rating suggesting good value Fulham. There you go. That's a start, isn't it?
Oh, you'll be taking it then, won't
yes,
you?
Yeah.
Oh, my Lord. What a madman you are, Peter. You talk about the run of 15 games in all competitions that City are on a winning streak against the Cottagers. They've won the last 7 Premier League meetings. 4 wins have come to nil. They've scored twice or more in each of those games. It's a big line, but are they going to win by 3 clear goals? Who knows? Are they going to win by 2, though? I think they probably will, Pete. So, for the purposes of the podcast, I'm going to take City -1.75. I won't be rushing out to back it for big stakes, though. But at this stage of the season, Fulham comfortably placed. The lowest they can finish is 14th, even if they lose both of the last two games. So, yeah, give me a little bit of City.
Here we go with another team that have been a little bit of a bad one for me, really. Bournemouth against Brentford here. The line minus a half. Recent head-to-heads was a draw last season. Bournemouth, when they're minus half, it's a good record at home. They've won 7, drawn 2, lost 1, coming off a 3-0 defeat away at Arsenal. Brentford, when they're plus half a goal, 1-2, drawn 2, lost 6, coming off a 0-0 draw at home to Fulham. 3 or more goals have been seen in 5 of Bournemouth's last 6. Minus half a goal, 313 matches, 155 home, 158 away. Good value. Brentford, my racing suggestion, and I'm going to go with that one.
Yeah, I can probably see why, Pete. It's just the lack of propensity to draw games on the road that concerns me. They've gone 4-2-12 away from home this season. In the last 20 games of the Premier League season, so sort of from game week 16 onwards, Bournemouth are 8th in the form table, whereas Brentford lie down in 18th. They got off to a decent start, the Bees, and then they've sort of capitulated a little. Brentford haven't lost to Bournemouth in the 3 meetings of the side since the start of last season. It was a 2-2 draw at the beginning of this season. 12 points, though, separate the teams. Bournemouth do lie comfortably ahead of Thomas Frank's men. But I agree with you, Pete. In terms of, I think they were a very well-managed team, Brentford. Yes, it's been as good a season as I'm sure they would have hoped. But receiving half a goal away from home against a non-elite opponent, I think, yeah, you're right. Brentford's the side to take, mate.
Everton against Sheffield United. Recent head-to-head, Sheffield United have won both matches. It's minus 1.25 goals here. When minus 1.25 goals, Everton's record reads 1-3, drawn 0, lost 1. Only one of the 3 victories were by 2 or more goals. They're coming for 1-0 draw away at Luton. Sheffield United, when they're plus 1.25 goals, 1-1, drawn 0, lost 4. All 4 defeats, though, were by 2 or more goals. Come off a 3-1 defeat at home to Forest. Sheffield United conceded at least 2 in their last 10. That's unbelievable, isn't it? Minus 1.25 goals, 108 matches. When it all boils down, 51 home, 42 away. Very small value, Sheffield United, my ratings are suggesting. But you can't trust them, though.
No, I mean, we gave them one final chance last week against Forest in a game against a poor opponent at home where they were receiving a full goal and they blew it. The one thing I'd say about that, and I know Sheffield United are only receiving a quarter of a goal extra here than they did last week. Forest had something to play for and they were battling hard down at the bottom of the table. But Everton, technically, bar pride, don't have anything to play for. Now, I don't really know. I've been struggling to find on the internet when Everton's new ground's going to open. But we know they're not going to start the new season in that Bramley Docks or whatever they're calling it, stadiums. But this is going to be the final last day of the season home game ever at Goodison Park. Now, because it's not technically the last game, I don't really know how much of an impact that would have. Now, if this was going to be their final game ever at Goodison Park, to be honest, Pete, I'd be all over Everton here with the atmosphere that the game would generate. But it's not. So it's a really strange one to call. Goal line set at 3. I think I'm probably going to take a little bit of the under there, Pete. I know the first meeting of the sides ended 2-2. And I know Sheffield United concede goals for fun. But I just have a feeling that this could be quite a bit of a damp squib game, really. Sheffield United are long gone. Have they got the stomach for much of a fight? Everton, do they score openly? No, they've only scored 21 in their 18 home games this season. So, yeah, with the goal line set at 3, you're going to have to see 4 goals in this game for you to get a losing bet. So I'll just take a bit of the under for the purposes of the podcast, mate.
Right, next up, Newcastle against Brighton. Recent head-to-heads have been very mixed. Newcastle 1-2, Brighton 1-2, there's been two draws. Minus one goal, the handicap is. Newcastle were minus one goal, 1-3, drawn, one loss, naught. Two of the three were by two or more goals, coming off a 4-1 victory away at Burnley. That's a good win, really, for Newcastle. Brighton, when they're plus one goal, 1-2, drawn, one loss, six. Two of the six defeats were by two or more goals, coming off a reasonable 1-0 victory at home to Villa. Three or more goals have been seen in 14 of Newcastle's last 17. As you know here, you know there's goals as Jimmy was saying at the start of the podcast. Minus one goal, 301 matches, 118 home, 75 push, 108 away. My rating suggesting value Brighton. Been a funny season for Brighton, really. I don't think they've lived up to their, you know, I don't think they've played to their capabilities. In truth.
No, and I think both teams have struggled with the rigours of Europe, to be perfectly honest, Peter. But incredibly, given all the struggles Newcastle have had, they come into this game with a realistic opportunity of finishing fifth in the league table. I think that would be an outstanding finish to the season for them if they did that. And actually, when I looked at this, I was a little bit surprised that the line wasn't bigger. Now, Brighton have clearly struggled a lot more in terms of consistency because of the European exertions. And in my mind, I had Newcastle coming into this game in much better form than Brighton. But to be perfectly honest, in the last 20 games, both of these sides have lost eight games. The difference is that Newcastle are winning games and Brighton, you know, they've been drawing a lot more. And that's a good sign in some ways if you're wanting to back Brighton plus one goal. As you say, though, Pete, I think there's going to be plenty of goals in this game. We know the way Brighton play. It's going to be open and attractive, but also will give the Magpies a lot of opportunities. Just got a feeling that this home crowd will really get behind the team and probably drive them on to victory here, and maybe even a comfortable 3-1, 4-1, 4-2 type of game where the crowd really make an impact. The Brighton players will probably struggle under that fierce Geordie emotion. And yeah, I have no problem here, Pete, really, taking Newcastle to win the game and probably covering the line as well. I will take the overs, though, for the podcast.
Should make a note of that. So that's over 3.5 goals, isn't it?
Over 3.5 goals. Could see five or six quite comfortably almost.
Like you said before, we would never have done that a few years ago.
Christ, no. With that goal line would have probably been 2.25.
Yes.
Just with those team names, shall I say, and the styles of play that they would have adopted.
Right, next up, Spurs against Burnley. And this is quite an interesting game, actually, because this has gone from minus 1.75 to minus 0.5. I'll just give you Burnley's record, minus 1.75, plus 1.75. 1-1, drawn 6, lost 0. They haven't lost when they're plus 1.75.
Wow.
That's incredible, isn't it? However, different matter with 1.5. But anyway, we'll go through this. Spurs-Burnley. Recent head-to-head, Spurs have had the better. They've won 5. There's been 1 draw. Burnley not 1. Minus 1.5, the handicap here. Spurs, when they're minus 1.5, 1-8, draw 0, lost 2. 4 of the 8 defeats by 2 or more goals. Coming off a 4-2 defeat away at Liverpool, where I thought they were poor. I thought Spurs were poor there. Burnley, plus 1.5. This is where it's different. 1-0, drawn 2, lost 8. 5 of the 8 defeats were by 2 or more goals, coming off of 4-1 defeats at home to Newcastle. 3 or more goals have been in 16 of Spurs' last 18. Minus 1.5 goals, 180 matches, 84 home, 96 away. Very small value Spurs, my rating suggesting.
And I bet if it had been 1.75, it would have been very good value Burnley, wouldn't it?
Slight value Burnley, I think. No, I don't think it makes that much difference on this line.
Okay,
but that's a good, yeah. But like I say, I can't believe that Burnley on that line have only haven't lost in 7 games. Just goes to show.
Yeah, and that some of that will probably go back, maybe possibly go back to the Dyche era where they always lost by one goal in these big games. The interesting thing, I mean, this line, Pete, this line move from 1.75 down to 1.5, for me, it's based purely on Spurs' ability to keep a clean sheet. Because if you're looking at the 1.75 line and you're thinking, quite fancy Burnley to score here. Well, you know full well that they're going to have to score. Spurs are going to have to score four for you to fully lose your bet. And given the fact that Spurs have kept just two clean sheets in their 17 home games this season, Pete, I mean, look at the calibre of sides they've conceded to. Luton, Forest, Brentford, Bournemouth, Everton, you know, Sheffield United. You have no faith here that Tottenham can keep a clean sheet. Now, on the 1.5 goal line, all of a sudden, if they do concede, they're only going to have to win 3-1. Well, they beat Forest 3-1. They beat Palace 3-1. They beat Bournemouth 3-1. You know, there's plenty of examples this season of where Spurs have allowed a weaker opponent to score, yet still managed to cover a 1.5 goal line. For that reason alone, because we've got a proven track record of them doing that, Pete, I will take Spurs here. I think Spurs will have a little bit of a focus. They clearly do enjoy playing for the manager, and they desperately want to, you know, keep Newcastle beneath them. I think this is one of those sorts of games where Spurs could be a little bit of a flat track bully here. And if Spurs go ahead early and Burnley come out of the shell a little bit, because Burnley have to win this game. There's no two ways about it. So if there's an early goal in this game for Spurs, Burnley know they're going to have to score two to have any hope of staying up. I think there'll be plenty of Spurs opportunities. So I'll take Tottenham -1.5.
West Ham against Luton next, -3/4 here. West Ham, when they're -3/4 at home, good record. 1-7, drawn 3, lost 0. 3 of the 7 victories by 2 or more goals. Coming off a very poor 5-0 defeat away at Chelsea. Luton, when they're +3/4, 1-1, drawn 1, lost 1. That defeat was not by 2 more goals. Coming off a 1-0 draw at home to Everton. Luton, they've only just won 1 of their last 15. -3/4. 243 matches. When you break it down, it's 112.5 points, plays 98. So lean to the home side on that trend. Very small value. West Ham, my race is suggesting. I fancy Luton to win this game, you know.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
It would, in some ways, it would, because it's David Moyes' last game in charge.
Yes, it is. Yes, at home, isn't it? Yes.
But I wouldn't necessarily, Pete, say that is a big plus for West Ham, because it would kind of almost sum up David Moyes' reign, really, at West Ham. Greatly underappreciated, has done a very good job, but every now and again you'll get a clunker of a result and you'll think, how's that happened? And, you know, they've been very good in this spot. 15-4-3 against bottom six sides in the last 22 home games. But we do know it's shit or bust, basically, for Luton. They need to get something from this game to put the pressure on Forest the following day against Chelsea. Or is it the same to I'm just going to have to double check this now. I've got it in my head. Oh, it's the R5 game, isn't it, Forest? So Luton have the advantage that if they win this game or get a point from it, it will really put some pressure on Chelsea for the 5:30 game. Been 68 total goals in Luton's 18 away games. Big lean to the over 3.25 goals for me. It could be a very open game, this. West Ham will play with complete freedom under Moyes. Final game for him. They'll want to put on a show. But as I've alluded to, you know, that's not always going to happen for the Hammers. But I think this will be a very open game, Pete. We've seen all season how Luton do score and concede goals. So, yeah. It wouldn't surprise me, Peter, if Luton did do what you said they would, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah.
I'll take the over 3.25.
Yeah. Wolves against Palace next. Recent head-to-heads, Wolves have won 3, Palace have won 2, and the game's off scratch. When off scratch, Wolves' record reads 1-4, drawn 2, lost 4, coming off a 5-1 defeat away at Man City. Palace, when they're away off scratch, good record. 1-6, drawn 3, lost 1, coming off an excellent 4-0 victory at home to Man United. Palace are undefeated in 5 now, so they're starting to play very well. Scratch, 279, 92 home, 82, 88 push, 99 away. My race is suggesting value Wolves, but I wouldn't touch this game with a barge pole, in truth. Again, I'd probably be, my head says Palace. My race is say Wolves, my head says Palace.
Yeah, and I'm not going to take Palace, Pete, but for the podcast, I'm taking Palace off scratch. And I'm just looking at the form table now. Only Man City have a better record than Palace in the last five games. Man City have won all five. Palace have won four, drawn one. Only conceded three while scoring 13 goals. They've got a young, vibrant, sort of attacking final third that are in great form. And they'll be greatly buoyed by the win against Manchester United. And at this stage of the season, who do you want to bet on? A side like Wolves, who are just tapering away, or a young, vibrant side like Palace, who'll turn up at Molineux, want to put a show on, probably just enjoying playing football at the moment. And that's what happens when you get on a fine run. They don't want the season to end. Wolves are just looking ahead, wanting the season to end, even though Wolves sit two places and 3 points above Palace. As you quite rightly say, Pete, the head is telling me here, take a little bit of the away side. Well, and recent meetings, they've won five of the last six Palace as well.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if next season, from next season, if Palace start getting back to, you know, when we used to back them, you know, away from home, plus one goal and things like that.
Yeah, I think there's obviously a lot will ride on what happens over the summer. A lot of transfer talk about some of those young coveted targets. So we'll keep an eye on that. But yeah, There's certainly a team to watch. I was very impressed with them on Monday night. I was almost as impressed with them as I was disappointed with Manchester United.
Next up, Forest against Chelsea. Plus half a goal here. Recent head-to-heads, the game was a draw last season. Forest, when they're plus half a goal, 1-2, drawn, 1, lost, 0. And they come off a 3-1 victory away at Sheffield United. Chelsea, when they're minus a half, 1-4, drawn 3, lost 3, come off a 5-0 victory at home to West Ham. Chelsea only lost one of their last 12. They're starting to play well now, Chelsea. Bit too little, too late, but they are now coming into form. Plus half a goal, 153 matches, 78 home, 75 away. Very small value, Forest, my rating suggesting.
Can you believe that Chelsea could actually finish fifth in this league?
Yeah, Peter? It's incredible, isn't it? They really have come back, haven't they?
It's madness. And I'll be honest, folks, I would not be opening my wallet to make a wager in this game before I knew what the outcome of the Luton-West Ham game is. Because if Luton fail to get anything at West Ham, realistically, Forest need just a point from this game to save themselves and retain Premier League status. And I would be really keen, if that was the outcome of the London Stadium, a West Ham win, I'll be quite keen here to take Forest plus half a goal, because that City ground will be absolutely bouncing. And despite the form Chelsea have been in recent weeks and months, I will be taking Forest, Pete. So for the purposes of the podcast, I think I'll take the under 3.25 goals, but desperately want to know the outcome of that Luton West Ham game before I even thought about making a wager in the match market.
Moving on to Sunday now, a big game, well, traditionally a big game, Manchester United against Arsenal. Plus 1.5 goals, the handicap here.
That's embarrassing, Peter, for Man United.
Recent head-to-heads, Man United won 4, there's been 3 draws, Arsenal won 1. When plus 1.5 goals, Man United at home have had one match. They lost that by 2 or more goals. They're coming up with 4-0 defeats away at Palace. Arsenal, when they're minus 1.5 goals, 3 matches. They won 1 by 2 or more goals, come up with 3-0 victory at home to Bournemouth. Arsenal won 14 of their last 16. Obviously, this is must win. Plus 1.5 goals, 86 matches, 42 home, 44 away. Good value, Manchester United rating suggested, and I'm going to go with it. But,
I mean, when I saw this line, I immediately thought, like yourself, Man United. But I always talk about name recognition and how it should be discarded. And here, finally, it truly has been discarded. And I applaud the bookmakers in many ways, because I can't really try and find any angle to say this line is wrong. At the end of the day, Peter, Manchester United, we are 35 games into the season for them, 36 for Arsenal, I think. Manchester United are a team that after 35 games have a negative goal difference of 3. Arsenal have a positive goal difference of plus 60. You know, we talk about discarding team names, and Man United are no better than West Ham in a way. They're no better than Brighton in terms of their goal difference. And at this stage of the season, with Arsenal going for the league title, well, clearly it's the right line. The only problem is, though, if I'm wanting to back Arsenal here, I'm a little bit concerned that if Man City win, that really ratchets the pressure up for a game away at Old Trafford that Arsenal should cruise through, to be perfectly honest, quite comfortably. But if Man City win that game Saturday lunchtime, they're then level on games, but 2 points clear of Man City. That puts a whole new dimension of pressure on Arsenal. So if Man City win and win comfortably, I will take Manchester United plus 1.5. If they don't, I will take the under 3.5 goals. So I think Arsenal will get through this if they need to, but it might be a little bit more nervy than it possibly should be.
Aston Villa, Liverpool finally on the Monday night. Recent head-to-heads, Villa have won 1, Liverpool have won 4, plus 3/4 of goal, the handicap here. Aston Villa went plus 3/4, not a great record, well, poor record. 1-0 drawn, 1 lost, 9, 7 of the 9 defeats were by 2 or more goals, come off a 1-0 defeat away at Brighton. Liverpool, when they're minus 3/4, 1-6 drawn, 2 lost, 6, all 6 of the victories by 2 or more goals, come off a 4-2 victory on Spurs. Liverpool conceded at least 2 in their last 3. Plus 3/4 when you boil it down, 70 home, 105 away. So a lean to the away side there. Mind you, Moraes is suggesting good value Aston Villa, and that's what I'm going to go with.
Yeah, me too, Pete. This is going to be my one bet for the week. I'm taking Villa here, plus 3/4 of a goal. They had that disappointment last night in Greece against Olympiacos. They've crashed out of that competition. But this is the final game of the season at Villa Park. It's been a truly incredible season. They've gone 12-3-3 at home, beating both Arsenal and Man City in front of their own supporters. Don't see any reason why they can't turn over this Liverpool side in Jurgen Klopp's last away game. As I say, it is his last away game. It's his last game under floodlights as a Liverpool manager. Not that I think that counts for anything, but it also always seems to add an extra dimension to games, a game under lights, because this is Monday night football. You know, Villa on this line, plus 3/4, you know, we look at their home record this season. I don't really see any reason that you shouldn't take this, especially when you consider Liverpool's form hasn't been as great as you'd expect it to in the final weeks of Klopp's reign. I think they might even be saving quite a bit for that final home game, Pete, to be honest. So, yeah, I'm going to take Villa plus 3/4 in the goal.
Well, here we go again then. I'm going for 4 this week.
Glutton for punishment, Peter.
Yeah, Fulham plus 1.75. Brentford plus 1/2 away at Bournemouth. Manchester United plus 1.5 at home to Arsenal. And Aston Villa plus 3/4 at home to Liverpool.
Well, I'm doubling up with you, Pete. On Villa, for 2 points, I'm going to take Aston Villa plus 3/4 of a goal.
Yes, it's going to be an interesting end to the season. How do you see it? I can't see City slipping up, really, can you?
No, I can't see City slipping up. It will be interesting if Luton get that win that you think is possible down at the London Stadium.
Yes.
See how that affects things then going into the final day. Let me just double check. Poor podcast preparation. I just want to see who the final games are.
I think they're playing Forest. Burnley are at home to Forest, aren't they? If Burnley beat Spurs, it's a big if. But if they do beat Spurs, that makes that very interesting, I think.
Yeah, it's Burnley, Forest and Luton, Fulham.
Yeah.
So, you know, I would certainly put my money on Luton beating a Fulham side on the beach, final game of the season. It's just whether it gets down to it for the Hatters or not.
Yeah. Right, we shall be back next week then for the final podcast of the season. And good luck this weekend, everybody.
Best of luck, everybody.